Well, back to federal politics, and politicians return to an increasingly chilly Canberra this week to debate tax and defence. And then across the Pacific, Donald Trump flagged more tariffs.
Everyone wants to play politics, Sally. I can't stress this enough.
The new poll suggests that One Nation could be Australia's most popular political party.
I'm actually a bit amazed by it, shocked by it, actually, Steve, to tell you the truth.
My job is to not fight on the right, so to speak.
I can say it's the job of the parliamentary party to make the case for policy, not the job of the federal president.
We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on AUKUS, and the US is offering us three renovated second-hand clunkers.
This deal has changed.
Why wasn't this the plan from the beginning when they outlined the optimal pathway?
We were clearly at the time fitting in with an American production and sustainment schedule.
Driving all of these deficits are unfair trading practices. One of these is a tolerance for the import and export of goods made with forced labour.
There is an ideological disagreement.
Some of those clearance rates were coming down already, and the budget is not the only factor.
Is the government reforming capital gains tax treatment or not?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What, is that a serious question?
No, it is a serious Senator question because...
Well, that's the sounds of another political week. To break it all down, our Friday political panel, Charles Croucher is Chief Political Editor at Nine News. Charles, welcome to you. Good to have you back.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
Ashley Raper is 10 News Political Editor. Ash, welcome back.
Thank you.
Stephanie Boris, welcome back to you as well.
Hello.
Let's start on tariffs. Charles, the Prime Minister calls this an ideological disagreement. Is this another diplomatic tightrope walk for the government?
Yeah, this is in the school of, like, it's not a done deal to the deal's all done kind of mentality with Donald Trump. I mean, who knows, right? Like, this is 12.5% on some countries. Australia gets the worst end of the deal, but then they've exempted all the big items that we export to the US, you know, beef, pharmaceuticals, critical minerals, energy, some fruits and vegetables. So I think our officials will spend the next couple of weeks trying to work out what on earth's going on, and US officials will spend the next couple of weeks trying to do the same. I mean, this is just another example of policy by decree and often by Truth Social that makes it so hard for exporters. And what we've found in the past, time and time again, and beef is the best example, is that the Australian producers kind of plough through it and the US consumers are the ones that suffer.
Ash Raper, the dealmaker-in-chief, Trade Minister Don Farrell, met with US Trade Representative Jamison Greer this week. Can the minister argue his way out of this one, do you think?
Well, look, we haven't been very good in the negotiations, but I don't think that there was this same heightened alarm as the first. You know, it's like, we've seen this film before. Mm. But, you know, there's almost two elements to this. This almost disingenuous tie of the tariffs to the Slavery Act, and we have a Slavery Act, and I think it's good, and you've spoken about this morning, about putting a focus on that, on slave labour. But the US is not fooling anybody that this is actually about trying to clean up in that space. It's about tariffs and getting around the US court shutdown of the original tariffs.
Another big issue this week politically, Stephanie Boris, has been AUKUS. Australia has struck a deal with the US favour on agreeing to buy three pre-loved Virginia-class submarines rather than one new and two new and one old. How significant a shift is this?
Optimal pathway. If you ever use those words so much in one week, yeah, what in the world does it mean? Look, it is a shift, but it sounds like it's the shift that the government wanted in the first place. But then there's also a question of, well, why was the government declaring that they had a good deal when in fact it wasn't the deal they wanted? Two used, one new, now three used. Yeah,
before.
I'm just sort of stepping through it again. The idea of used, when you're sort of just putting it out there, people think, oh, why would we want secondhand? I don't think the government's been able to explain clearly enough this week the fact that we're getting them about 6 years in, and that's actually not too bad in the scheme of a submarine. They have a life of about 30 years. The first few years is actually when they're really expensive. Pat Conroy was explaining some of that to you earlier in the week. So look, in the end, this actually sounds like it is a good outcome for government. How it's been sold, how it's been announced, not so good.
it was sounds like a political satire. Mm. When Richard Miles, as the defence minister, first announced it, was like, "Hey, we're now getting three used one, and that's a good deal. Don't worry, we could have got a new one, but this is better." Like it was bad. Actually, Pat Conroy on your show gave the best
properly
explanation.
Explained it, yeah.
And that's from the start. But it's also about this debate around AUKUS. You know, there have been these haters, these critics, and it was like, see, we told you, you know, step one, and you said we were getting a new one, now we're not, so, you know, they can hold on to this. This is step one of it, the deal not coming through.
And the secrecy makes that worse, right? The fact we can't say how much money we're going to save because it's commercial, despite being federal money into another country, and then we can't say which boats we're getting, despite the fact you could probably just go through and there'd only be a handful that we could possibly get. So,
Does it give us an insight into the business of compromise in this deal?
It's messy.
I guess, but yeah, the problem is, and this is what's been said here already, it plays into those people that are questioning this, and then you have Scott Morrison coming out questioning the British side of it as well. Like, it was always a complex setup and expensive. And so what you needed was transparency and clear messaging, and haven't had that so far.
And it looks like that Australia isn't in control. And so the US decides, and so we just say, okay, yeah.
But they've been working,
don't get upset.
They've been working on this for 18 months, they were saying in Senate estimates this week. So it's not as if this suddenly just popped out of nowhere either.
Now, we need to talk housing this week. Stephanie, to the debate on housing and the government's contentious tax changes, we've got new data this week showing that home values are flatlining. How have the politicians expressed their views about whether this is good news or bad news?
Oh, do we want house prices to go up or down? I'm a little bit confused at the moment, and it depends on who you speak to and who the politicians are speaking specifically at, which voters they're trying to win. If you're trying to get into the housing market, you'd love to hear that house prices are flatlining or going down. If you own a house, you don't want to hear that at all. And so it's a bit of a balancing act for both government and opposition in how they try and sell housing policies or where they think the housing market should go.
Ash, the changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax discounts have been debated this week. They've gone through the House of Reps. They've got to make it through the Senate. Are we getting much idea about discussions between the Coalition and the Greens?
Well, look, at this, there were so many different discussions happening this week. Do we know if they're going to team up? Do they want to push this inquiry longer? Also, the Greens are tying the NDIS legislation, that cuts, which is also budget. They don't want to support that. So, look, there are a lot of moving parts, but they're opposing it for different reasons. It's almost like that opposition circle, and do they meet up?
Enemy's enemy is my friend.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes. So, look, we don't know, but it's very clear that, you know, yes, it's been pushed through the House. Obviously, the government had the numbers easily in the lower house, but they haven't got the Greens on board in the Senate.
For motivation, I mean, the Greens voted with the government in the lower house, the one Elizabeth Watson Brown. That's sort of a standard bearer. That wasn't a foretelling of what was going to happen in the Senate. There's a bit of recent history there that both sides will look at. For the Greens, it was how long did we stuff around in the housing bill and did that cost us at the last election? Because they lost a lot of seats and a lot of skin. Not necessarily a lot of votes, but they lost their seats. The other one is, don't forget, Jim Chalmers' first budget in this building as an MP was Joe Hockey's first as Treasurer, and he would have seen firsthand how dragging out legislation in the Parliament and not getting it through just means they bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed, and even if the issue is popular or unpopular, not being seen as getting something done is almost as damaging as getting the wrong thing done. So I think they'll both be very conscious of that history as they're trying to go into this negotiations.
Yeah, and I think in terms of, like, the politics, and very much the government has, with the budget legislation, has played the politics in terms of tying the tax breaks to the capital gains and negative gearing. But also, you need to look at process here in terms of this legislation has gone through without knowing the carve-outs for the capital gains tax, and the government's really trying to play that down. Don't worry, that's fine, we'll do it later. We'll do it later. We need to ask the question, is this good practice and good process of government to just try to rush this through and like, we'll sort it out later, trust us?
And I'm surprised as well with the Greens, as you were saying, Charlie, with the housing in the past. Back then, Max Chandler made it really hard, very angry, we're going to debate this as long as we can. Whereas this time, with listening to Nick McKim, it's like, yeah, look, we'll chat, we'll discuss with everyone. It's a very different vibe
Just finally, we began this week, it always feels like a 20-day week, we began this week with another Redbridge poll, but now showing that One Nation is the most popular political party in the country. How do you see that, Charles?
It sort of felt inevitable for a little while there that this would be the way it goes. I mean, the second or third line of that poll had the coalition with just 20%. You know, it's amazing to think that four out of five voters are picking someone other than the coalition. That establishes that real change and makes it difficult for Angus Taylor. One Nation clearly see themselves as now being the potential next government, and they're a much more professional operation, much more focused, and Pauline Hanson is speaking about being Prime Minister.
And speaking to the ABC. She's done, you know, the podcast with the Herald. She's doing the press club, trying to be more sort of mainstream and engaging in that way.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, right? With better polls comes better scrutiny. It's still a long way out. If you're a One Nation supporter, you might worry they peaked too soon, but we'll see.
Steph, what do you think?
The scrutiny, I think, will be the interesting part to watch.
And we even saw,
last night, One Nation MP Barnaby Joyce, it was the most confusing thing to watch and to see I can't even explain it because it confuses me. It was around housing policy and migration and permanent residence. So they're getting asked already more on policy. And if you're that confusing, if you can't outline exactly what you're doing, then you're not going to be able to keep voters that think you're the right people for the job.
No one wants a slice of slightly confused GST birthday cake, as was mentioned. Thanks so much to our Friday political panel. Charles Croucher is Chief Political Editor at Nine News. Charles, thank you so much for coming in. Ashley Raper, political editor at 10. Ash, good to see you again as well.
Yeah, you too.
And Stephanie Boris, we'll send you on your way to other work today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.